The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Fred Brack from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached by calling 919-781-1973. We are going to return to the August 2018 edition of Our State magazine, celebrating North Carolina. And this month, they celebrate our lakes with the Lakes Issue. We're going to begin with a story entitled Modern Fish Camp. With his family's new restaurant, Hello Sailor, Chef Joe Kindred hopes to reclaim a cherished childhood on Lake Norman, one salt and pepper catfish and fried bologna sandwich at a time. Joe Kindred used to come here by boat as a boy. This was the late 80s and early 90s here in northern Mecklenburg County up Interstate 77 from Charlotte, back when the area around sprawling Lake Norman was still all empty lots and quiet coves, dirt roads, and red clay. Back when practically the only restaurants around were a Quincy's and a Pizza Hut and something called Ham and Eggs, where the McDonald's is now. Back then, Joe spent slow, untroubled days riding his bike and jumping into the bracing water of a rock quarry, tubing and water skiing, eating peanut butter on a white bread and dipping potato chips in ketchup or ranch. Friday nights meant a short boat ride from where the Kindreds lived on the lake in Cornelius for family dinners out at an unfussy, fish-campy, breading-and-baskets eatery named Harbor Lights. That was before his parents got divorced. Now, seated at a table on the deck of their still-new second restaurant, Hello Sailor, which replaced the Rusty Rudder, which replaced Harbor Lights, Joe and his wife Katie look out at the lake. "My memories here," Joe says, "are some of the only good memories I have of my parents being together, because they split when I was like 8 or 9. He's 35. He's husband to Katie and father to Alba, Luca, and Graydon. He's a 3-time James Beard Award nominee for Best Chef in the Southeast. And he and Katie and their restaurants have earned national renown. And he's still the boy that he once was. I remember standing down there on that little platform, feeding the carp, feeding the ducks, eating hush puppies and fried bologna sandwiches," he says. "Salt and pepper catfish, popcorn, shrimp, and then the whole thing got taken from me," he says. "There's a lot of heart here, a lot of memories. It's the middle of the afternoon. The lake is still. It's more than just a restaurant," he says. "Way more." The Kindreds are here because they wanted to make a home. Joe, the country kid with the soft drawl and the informal demeanor, learned by doing, and Katie, young but already an accomplished sommelier. They worked at the pump room in her native Chicago. Then she worked at Quince, and he worked at Delfina in San Francisco, both sought after spots in the culinary scene. But they wanted to start a family, and they weren't sure that that big, busy, expensive city were the best places to do it. So they moved back to the lake and bought a fixer-upper bungalow in Davidson. And in February of 2015, on Main Street, across from the campus of Davidson College, in a storefront that once was the town's pharmacy and then a quirky little museum known mostly for its sculpture of gnomes, they opened the first restaurant of their own, Kindred. Family. We were going to do what we were going to do, and it was going to work or it wasn't, Katie told the Charlotte Observer. We kind of didn't want to tiptoe onto the scene. They didn't. Kindred's high tin ceiling and exposed brick walls created just the right mix of warm and cool. Precocious, but not precious. Sophisticated, but not stuffy. A special occasion spot with a shot of cheers. And the food? The food. Comfort food of the South meets haute cuisine of the world. The handmade squid ink pasta. The whole Appalachian trout. The crispy oysters with dill yogurt and a zing of chili oil. The little gem salad, the duck fat potatoes, the standard bearer of fries. Cocktails concocted by smiling bartenders and with hipster mustaches. And the milk bread, intentionally evocative of the yeast rolls that Joe used to gobble up at that Cornelius Quincy. A memory brought back to life and made better, literally just bread and butter, only somehow injected with a complexity and verve. Served gratis, Kindred was a hit. Bon Appetit called it one of the 10 best new restaurants of 2015. Imagine, the magazine said, a casual southern restaurant that studied abroad. Our state dubbed the milk bread magic. And so the Kindred started to dream even bigger. There never will be another Kindred, Katie explained to the Charlotte Business Journal in 2016, but they did start toying around with ideas for a second restaurant. Joe says, something different? Pizza? Pasta? Something else? Something down in Charlotte, almost certainly. It had to feel right, like Kindred did. But Kindred was keeping them plenty occupied, and they had three kids, too, and their youngest was a baby. They were in no hurry. Then they heard that the lease on the Rusty Rudder was up, and the restaurant planned to close after 15 years. An available lakefront space, just like that. But Katie wasn't sure. Full disclosure, she says, sitting on Hello Sailor's deck, the sun shining, inside a smattering of diners linger at tables and on stools at the bar. She pauses, thinking about how much she wants to say and how she wants to say it. I've always had reservations about taking over an existing restaurant space, she admits, especially one that's been around for that long. Because there are always going to be people who are strongly attached to the place. There's no clean slate, no fair, uncolored first impression. Whatever the place becomes, it's not quite what it was. Maybe Joe could have it both ways. He wanted to do it, had to, heart even more than head. I started having those memories, he says, looking out over the water toward the house where he grew up. Those Friday nights, his parents together. The lake was so important to me, he explains, and I thought it'd be really neat to plant some roots here with my wife and for our children. Those quiet coves, those fried bologna sandwiches. It hasn't been easy. Hello Sailor, as Joe and Katie often say, is like a mashup of a fish camp 2.0 and a Palm Springs oasis. 4,000 square feet inside, open to dairy, bold colors and curves, plus another 3,000 square feet outside, including a triple-tiered patio, a tiki bar, and 20 boat slips. A working photo booth adds a playful touch. With Katie leading the charge on design, they vaulted the ceiling and added more and bigger windows, all to accentuate what they consider the very point of the place. We want your eye to be drawn straight to the water, she says, the lake. But the view has little to do with all the national press attention that Hello Sailor has received, some even before it opened. That was all reputation, talent, the food. The menu feels like a seriously gussied up fish fry, blue crab craws with wasabi tobiko mayo, a lobster roll served on that delectable milk bread from Kindred, classic salt and pepper catfish, but with sauce grabiche, deviled crab dip with pimento cheese, executed by prominent Charleston chef Craig Deal, who was lured by the Kindreds to Cornelius to be the restaurant's chef de cuisine. There's a skillet burger, too, and baby back ribs, and creamed collards, and an iceberg wedge, and a fried bologna sandwich, and a poppy seed-coated bun, and scene-stealing hush puppies. A little less cornbread, a little more beignet, served with yuzu koshu honey butter. It's a beer made exclusively for Hello Sailor by Free Range Brewing in Charlotte. Barracuda's Bill's Pilsner, named after Joe's spearfishing granddad. And there's soft-serve ice cream and homemade hand pies. Even so, bringing people around to a new incarnation of an old standby takes time. At first, diners vented about the transformation on Yelp. But chicken wings and tasty cocktails may make converts of them yet. Once this place takes off, Joe vowed, it's going to be fun. A bowl of squid, clams, and a hunk of succulent pork belly hits the table with a substantial thud. Silverware clinks. The food critic from GQ magazine dropped in not long ago and left raving about the gumbo he ate in a fantastical mid-century modern surf shack located on the shore of Lake Norman. Downstairs, hanging on the office wall, is a framed menu from Harbor Lights, Fish Camp 1.0, fried shrimp, fried oysters, fried scallops, fried catfish, with a handwritten note to Joe from the owner. Your family were regulars, it says. Carry on the Lake Norman family restaurant tradition. Good luck. So much has changed. What's most important is not. And Joe and Katie have set up a life to give their children what Joe had and then didn't. A childhood on and around Lake Norman. Live music on Friday evenings behind the coffee shop in Davidson, the Saturday morning market, Mondays in the pool at Joe's mother's house in Cornelius, Mondays at Momo's, they call it. And now this too, Hello Sailor. Joe and Katie can see past the past and the future from the deck. Tables of families eating hush puppies and soft serve, boats pulling up to those beckoning slips on warm Friday nights. Kids and families on the water, Katie says, making memories. Joe is quiet. He just nods his head. Yes. Written by Michael Cruz, who's a senior staff writer for Politico. He lives in Davidson. Hello Sailors on Henderson Road in Cornelius, North Carolina. HelloSailorNC.com. And now, continuing in our Lakes Issue specials, House Proud. Well, first, let me remind you that you are listening to our state magazine on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. If you have any comments on our program, call the studios, 919-832-5138. The Modest Homes, anchored in coves on Fontana Lake, redefine what it means to live on the water. So when the singular community faced the real possibility of eviction, folks joined forces to keep afloat. Photo here, the Sneed family relaxes on the front deck of their floating home on the eastern end of Fontana Lake. Theirs is one of the hundreds of homes that were in danger of disappearing in 2016. One summer evening, Laura Sneed was already wrist deep in meatloaf mix when she realized that she was out of eggs. A minor inconvenience if you live near a grocery or within walking distance of helpful neighbors, but little nuisances quickly become big challenges when your home is not on dry land. On weekends, the Sneed family moves their everyday life into a gentle bobbing cottage on Fontana Lake, about 30 feet from the shore and a 20-minute boat ride from the closest marina. Luckily, sound carries far and wide on a lake. Laura walked out on her deck and shouted over the water to her closest neighbor, whose home is some 50 feet away. Even though they've never met before, the neighbor shouted back, not only did she have eggs, but the eggs were from her very own chickens who resided home on land. Just like that, the neighbor jumped into the lake, a fresh egg in hand, to swim over for the dinnertime handoff. It was a moment that could only happen right here in the various clustered communities of floating homes, not houseboats, which have motors attached, on Fontana Lake. There's a picture of them here at the top, and it looks like a small square home with a deck all the way around and a front porch which sticks out further and doesn't seem to have the railings on the outer edge that you might have to have at your own home. And there's a little ladder that goes into the water, and it's offshore, anchored to the bottom, I guess. We see one line dipping down, and no motor. Now I have to find out where I was before I took that little sojourn to read about the picture. There are barely any full-timers here. I'd love to try it, says Eric, Laura's husband, but living here full-time would be impractical. So the weekends are when the homes in the cove come alive. Out on the wide open lake, without trees and hills to obstruct the views, neighbors are always in sight of each other. Voices skip like stones across the water. The squeals of kids splashing around break up the white noise of birdsong generators and the rumble of boat motors. Over time, people have gotten to know each other, albeit more slowly than neighbors on land do. And in fact, today, everyone in this community is closer than ever before. For a while, at least, it looked like what they had created over decades was destined to fade away like ripples in the water. Laura grew up in Minnesota, where lakes are plentiful and little cabins dot their shorelines. A work project brought her to the South, where she met Eric, a member of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians. When they were dating, they took a day trip to Fontana Dam, and that's when Laura first saw the floating homes. "What are those?" she asked. "They weren't technically houseboats," Eric said, "because they stay put. As for lakefront living, the price is a fraction of what it would be on the shore." Laura had always wanted to own a place of her own. Their family home in the Quala boundary in Cherokee is owned by Eric because he's a member of the tribe. Laura is not. "I could actually own one of these houses," she says. In 2014, Laura was clicking through a yard sale listing on Facebook and saw one for sale. And that's how the Sneeds came to own a small former fishing shack. The home had been anchored in the same spot in a channel since 1968. It was pretty much untouched, Eric says. He doesn't mean that in a good way. A family of otters was living underneath. Aww. Eating the floor joists. Oh. There were bars on the windows. There were some fishing holes in the floor. Laura called them death traps for our children. Besides, she and Eric don't fish. "I was touched by a fish twice," she says. "It freaked me out." Over the winter of 2015, the Sneeds got to work. Eric knows construction. He helped build the casino on the Quala boundary. And Laura is a commercial interior decorator. First, they gave up the idea of using a level because the lake is always in motion, causing the bubble to move. They managed to run off the otters, and they replaced the plastic-lined styrofoam floats, which were soggy and sitting ever lower on the water. But a few retro touches, a horseshoe, a bell, and tin siding, remain as a nod to the home's history. Seeking extra space for family and guests, they bought another floating home that year and connected it to the first. The quarters are tight, but cozy and bright. Laura created art for the walls. Eric brought a UV filtering system that pulls water from the lake, although the drinking water still comes from bottles. The refrigerator runs on propane. The little burner boils ammonia, Eric says. That's how it works. There's hot water and air conditioning, courtesy of a generator. Food comes in and trash goes out on a boat. The Sneeds don't exactly rough it here. There are many comforts of home. "We go glamping every weekend," Laura says. But in February 2016, right around the time when they replaced the roof and finally finished all of the renovations, they got a postcard in the mail. That's when the real problems started. A floating home exists in part to solve a problem. In Amsterdam and Seattle, where houseboats and floating houses are permanent parts of the cityscape, housing prices are exorbitant, and a residence on water is usually cheaper than buying something similar on land. In New Orleans, houseboats were proposed as hedges against the hurricanes. If it floats, it can't flood. At Fontana Lake, the problem, oddly, is the public land that surrounds it. After the Tennessee Valley Authority, or TVA, built the largest dam in the East, most of the new lakefront property in Graham and Swain counties became national parkland or national forest. The little private land that was left became wildly expensive. Within view of the Sneed's floating home is a huge house on a hillside over the lake. It's worth $3 million, and the owner comes in from Georgia by helicopter. Most of the lakefront houses have long been out of reach for locals. But in the 1950s, someone got the crafty idea to build a crude little cabin, put styrofoam floats underneath, and shove it into the water. Copycats followed here and elsewhere, and today some 1,800 floating homes dot the surface of TVA lakes across the southern Appalachians. For decades, the TVA tolerated the floating homes. It issued permits, charged fees, and established rules and regulations that the owners had to follow. But in 2016, Eric and Laura and the rest of the homeowners found out via postcard that the TVA had changed its mind and was considering a proposal to remove all homes. All of them. The guys down at the marina had heard all of this before, but Eric, who dealt with plenty of federal contracts in his work at the Quala boundary, saw something they didn't. The TVA had put together an environmental impact statement, a broad and expensive study. If they're doing an EIS, Eric says, that's not messing around anymore. At a TVA Board of Directors meeting in May 2016, Eric, Laura, and dozens of other homeowners pleaded their case. But TVA CEO Bill Johnson saw things differently. What is being asked for is a permanent use of public property, he said. Right afterward, the board voted to remove the floating homes from all TVA lakes. Not right away, though. Homeowners had 30 years to phase them out. Eager to build support for their cause, Laura and Eric had already created a Facebook group, Fontana Families for Floating Houses. They also circulated a petition that quickly received 4,000 signatures. It was enough to get the attention of all the politicians, Eric says, including U.S. Representative Mark Meadows, whose district includes Swain and Graham counties. Meadows quickly convened a congressional oversight subcommittee hearing to look into the matter, and he asked Laura to testify. There in September 2016, she was seated right next to Johnson, the TVA CEO. Laura was cool and collected, politely answering questions from members of Congress. "When I received my postcard in the mail, I was shocked," she told them. And she explained that the homes put Fontana Lake within reach of people who actually live nearby. Nurses, school bus drivers, retirees, police officers, military veterans. Floating homes, she testified, allow normal people to actually use the lake. Late in the hearing, Meadows, leaning on his elbow, brought the conversation back to the 1940s when Fontana Lake was created. He pointedly asked Johnson, "Did you condemn the land? Did you take it?" "Absolutely," Johnson replied. "Took it to help with World War II. And you know what? The people of Graham and Swain counties are glad you did," Meadows said. "All they want is to get a little bit of it." In December 2016, President Obama signed a law stopping the TVA from removing the homes. There are still rules and regulations, new annual fees to pay, and permits to procure. But that talk fades on Eric and Laura's floating front porch. "You can still sleep outside here, although the sound of jumping fish wakes Laura. In the morning, steam rises off the lake when the water is warmer than the air. It's possible to swim well into the fall here. Laura has jumped in as late as October. It wasn't bad," she says. There are little reminders of the past, a distant past, all over this waterfront. The Sneed's house floats above what used to be a blacksmith shop for the town of Judson, one of several that disappeared when the floodwaters came in the 1940s. An old railroad line still runs nearby on shore, and a steam engine's bellows get closer and closer. It's the Great Smoky Mountain Railroad, which carries tourists from Bryson City to points west. Sometimes the Sneeds show up in other people's Instagram shots of the lake, taken from a passenger car. But these folks don't get the same close-up perspective on lake life, like the frenetic joy that comes over the Sneeds' young sons, age 2 and 4, when they run around, splash, and swim. They don't see the boat parades on the 4th of July or the water skiing or the cookouts. And at night, they don't see the fire pit, the roasting marshmallows, or the glow of faraway Gatlinburg lighting the sky behind the mountains on a clear evening. It's really peaceful, really quiet, Laura says. It literally is my happy place in North Carolina. It feels like home. And that was written by Jeremy Markovich. We don't really have time to read another article, so I will look at a couple of the advertisements here right beside this one. It says, take the plunge into Lake Gaston Living. Not the same lake we've been talking about, but similar idea, I guess. Located in the Virginia North Carolina border between Interstates 85 and 95, there's 2,000 surface acres of water and 350 miles of shoreline. The Regional Chamber of Commerce would like to have you consider them. LakeGastonChamber.com. Sterling Capital Funds, Sterling Capital Equity Income Fund, would like you to invest and make money for the future. And if we flip the pages a little bit here, Pella Windows has some very beautiful windows, two stories high on the inside of the back cover, and it says perfectly beautiful, which indeed it is. They're at Pella-NorthCarolina.com. On the back cover, Forever Mark. A diamond is forever. The Forever Mark tribute collection for all that you are. A diamond for each of your qualities. Windsor Jewelers, Winston-Salem, Charlotte. Windsor-Jewelers.com. And lastly, back on your time when the moment is right, trust Sildenafil. And if you know what it is, fine. If you don't, I'm not going to read that one any further because we are out of time. Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us, 919-832-5138. So long for now.